St. Michael's Abbey in Wilbur St. Fathers. We have the summer camp at the high school. Okay, what's going on there in the past few months? Number one, one of the biggest things, we have 9 new seminarians. 9. There were 11 that were accepted, but we only have room for 9. The other 2 will be coming in next year. Okay? So we already have 2 for next year. 9 of them, 5 from California. I know all 5. I had met them before they came in. 5 from California. One of them is from our parish, Luke Holbach. Okay, so there's 3 of our young men in this parish who are in our seminary. Okay? 3. 3 in the past 2 years. Okay? So that's wonderful. That is good. This is a hotbed, a seedbed for vocations to the priesthood, this parish. Right? We're religious. We're not like Father Marks. Father Marks, he was a parish priest, a diocesan priest. Okay? I'm a religious. I belong to a religious community. Religious take vows. Poverty, celibacy, obedience. They live in community. Okay? And so we take simple vows for 3 years. And then we take solemn vows. That's kind of like marriage. That's for life. Okay? 8 of our men have renewed their simple vows. They had taken vows for 3 years, and after 3 years, you either leave, or you make your solemn vows, or you renew your vows. Okay, so 8 in our community renewed their vows. We have, I think, 37 or 38 seminarians. The sad thing is we only ordained 1 priest and no deacons. So that means next year, no priests, as far as I know. Maybe there'll be an exception. Come on in, have a seat. If we're running out of seats, there's seats over here. But that's one reason why you want to come on time, so you don't disrupt the class. Okay, there's a seat here, there's seats at the end. All right, so seminarians. So things are a little lean as far as ordinations for this coming June and the following June. But after that, there's going to be several priests, it looks like, for several years. All right, we got 50 priests, if I stay that way for another year or two. And then we'll pick up again. So that's our seminarians. You may have heard about the Holy Jim Canyon fire. That fire that was only maybe 3-4 miles away from our abbey. We were saved not just by the firemen and those planes that were dumping chemicals to kill the fire. We were saved by the wind. There's 2 kinds of winds. Okay, generally it's the ocean breeze. It's kind of quiet in the morning, hardly feel it, but as the day goes on, it gets stronger and stronger. It goes from east to west. That was the wind we had. And so that blew the fire away from us. Even a lot of the smoke, okay? It just blew it away. But if we would have gotten a Santa Ana wind, which happens, it would have blown the fire right into our abbey and destroyed everything within a day or two. So that's twice within 10 years that our abbey has been saved by the wind. By the ocean wind instead of the Santa Ana. Thank you, Lord. Our high school. Marcelino is in our class. Now he's in our high school. Okay. We only have room for 64 students. Your brother's a senior, right? Okay, anybody else? Okay, 64 students, a really small freshman class. Five of the seniors I had taught, okay? And I of 64 students, I taught 13 of them. So that's one-fifth of all the students. So for every five students that are in the school, I taught one of those five. So that's our high school. Our football team is doing pretty well. Okay, we got some good freshmen. Our dining room has been renovated. That looked pretty pathetic for years. But we have a new priest who's in charge of the food, the kitchen, the dining room, Father Miguel. This guy is really smart. He is practical, good eye, knows how things should be. He had renovated the priest seminarian's dining room, and then over the summer he renovated the high school dining room. It's more pleasant to eat in our dining room. It's a real dining room. It lives up to the name now, okay? So it's lovely. So we're happy about that. That's a little bit about our St. Michael's Abbey. Our parish, San Secundo Catholic Church. We had the kind of like a bomb in April 13th when Father Mark's passed, huh? Our pastor. Some people thought that after his passing, our parish would be greatly reduced. That is not the case. There is as many people now going to Sunday Mass as there was before his passing. And the collection is just as good, if not better. Last Sunday we had perhaps our highest collection ever. Okay, part of that is the economy. All right, but it has not reduced. Okay, so things are stable. Things are fine at San Secundo. I mentioned in one homily, over the summer, I was talking to my brother John. He's a church musician, and he was hoping to get a better position at this parish that's really hip. They have all these young people and contemporary music, and they're coming from all over the place. And he said, they're coming from 80 different zip codes. Wow. So I asked our secretary, Elizabeth Sharp, I said, how many zip codes do we have? How many people coming from different zip codes, how many different zip codes of people are coming to our parish? It's not 80. It's 215. That's like 50 zip codes north of us, 50 south of us, 50 east of us, 50 west of us, and extras, plus some people that won't tell us their zip code. Okay? Maybe they're not good with numbers. I don't know. All right, so 215. I don't know of any parish that comes close to that. Okay, we have about 1,000 registered parishioners. Okay, that's not that big. That's kind of small. But we got like about a 50-mile radius of people coming to our parish. And so that's unique. And what's also unique is that there's no parishioner who's Catholic coming to our parish within our boundary. We have this small boundary. Our boundary includes the Ontario Airport. Have you ever seen any houses in the Ontario Airport? No. Okay, our boundary includes that empty plot of land out there. There's no homes of people living there. Our boundary includes all those office buildings, banks, universities. Okay, there's no homes. There's only one person on our proper within our boundary, and he's not Catholic. He's a parishioner. He's contributing to our parish in more ways than money. He's in the process of becoming Catholic. Hopefully this 2019. Okay. That's going to be one of the highlights of my priesthood in this parish, when he becomes Catholic. All right. So pray for Paul. And he's bringing others to our parish. Some movers and shakers in this area. Okay. And there's also someone within our... we have a husband and wife who are parishioners in our parish that live about, I don't know, 40-some miles away from here. They're confined to their home. The husband can't move out of his bed. The wife is caring for him all day and night. They're giving money to our parish. They want to have their funeral in our parish. She's a convert. I may have told you about the Shapiros. Okay. The husband is a non-practicing Jew who has supported her in being Catholic. The two of them would go to Mass every Sunday. They were in a Bible study for 7 years. She said he claims to be Christian in his heart. That's not good enough. He's got to get baptized. Now, he's close to death. Okay, so if you could remember Homer Shapiro in your prayers, that he will stop being so stubborn and ask for baptism. Okay, before he dies. Okay, it could be days, weeks, months. He kind of goes up and down, you know, he's like half dead one minute, and then he rebounds, he gets better. Okay, he's got to stop fooling around and get baptized. All right, so if you can remember Homer Shapiro in your prayers. What else about our parish? My schedule. Over the summer, I was here almost every day. I was able to spend Sunday night here instead of the Abbey, which meant I could hear more confessions. Okay? I can't do that now. I'm back to my school schedule. I can be here 4 days a week from Wednesday evening until Sunday noon. At Sunday noon, I have to walk out of the confessional and be out of here by 12:30. Get back to the Abbey for evening prayer, for dinner, for priest and seminarian recreation. Okay, I belong to a community. I have to act like I'm part of the community. I have to enjoy community life. It's family. That's my family, my religious family. Now, there will be exceptions. One exception is right now. I'm here for a week and a half. From Wednesday, past this Sunday, to the following Sunday, because next week there's a San Bernardino priest convocation from Tuesday to Friday. So all the priests will be at that. There'll be no priests here. So I'm here. I'll be doing the masses. So, well, you know, all the masses from like Tuesday to Friday. except Friday evening. By that time, they're back. Okay, so I'm here this Sunday. I'll be able to hear confessions throughout the day. That can go from 10:30 until 1:30, 2:30, sometimes longer than that. Right? Nonstop. So that's my schedule. If I'm not here, that means I'm at the Abbey. Or I'm at my mom's home. A little bit about my mom. Some of you have met her. She's been here before. She's a big fan of homeschooling. Okay. Ever since my dad passed away 8 years ago, I've been visiting my mom regularly. All right. Sometimes almost every week, once a week. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that this year. Okay, it's going to be a little tighter. She has been living near the ocean in San Clemente, where you can see the ocean. You can see Catalina Island. You can see San Clemente Island on a clear day. Beautiful sunsets. You can hear the ocean at night when you're about to fall asleep, huh? It's lovely. She may be moving out of that in a month and into a retirement place where you can get more care. She's 82 years old. She's doing quite good for 82. But this is some place where she has a monitoring device. And if something should happen, there'll be someone right there. Okay. And this would be where she would spend her last years. And there's a bus to pick her up and take her to the Catholic Church on Sundays. There's all kinds of activities, buses going here, there. You know, it's, and she may be able to get a view of the ocean. From this new place in Dana Point, the fountains. So I may be going there to visit her. I'll probably be helping her move. So that's a little bit about my mom. You know, I've been bicycling now for 25 years, 100,000 miles in place of a car. I'm getting kind of old to be going the whole distance from the Abbey to here and back. Okay, it's taken a toll on me. It's the last 5 to 8 miles, and my behind is sore, and I'm just empty. Okay, so I'm thinking of getting into having a slightly different mode of transportation, putting a motor on the bike, a motorized bike. And using the motor to go up the hills. There's 4 big ones. And then I bicycle. You don't have to bicycle going down these steep ones. I break the speed limit going downhill without pedaling. On Cannon, one of the steepest, highest hills in Orange County. I break the speed limit by 10 miles without pedaling. So I don't need a motor for that, okay? Or going straight. So I've never asked my community for any money in regards to bicycles, bicycle parts, labor, but I'm gonna check out what's a good motor, and then the Abbot has already said years ago that if I ever need something for the bike, he'll take care of that. So you may, in the future, maybe by my 60th birthday or so, you'll see me arrive with the same bike, but a motor on it. And one reason, it's not so much it's not just the bike ride. I'm going to tell you something that I haven't told the rest of the parishioners. It has to do with our secretary, Mrs. Elizabeth Shar. You may know that for over 22 years, her husband has had dementia. For 22 plus years, he's been able to do nothing to help out around the house. He needs help with food, with going to the bathroom, showering, everything. It's like being a child, okay? A little child. So that's a lot of... that's extra work for her. On top of her working here 8 to 16 hours a day, she may not be here, but she may be working at home in regards to parish work, okay? That's a lot. And then taking care of her husband, sometimes she has to leave work to go home to where her husband is to help him and then drive back. I'm not really supposed to say this, but her daughter, Monica, has schizophrenia. And it got out of control this past summer. She had to go into a mental hospital, and she's not quite the same. The medicine is very heavy, so she's very limited to what she can do. All right? So after our secretary has put in a long day here at work, that's what she goes home to. So her house, her backyard, front yard has been neglected pretty much for 22 years, except that she was mowing the lawn, okay, which she shouldn't have to do. So a few years ago, I was invited to her home for the 4th of July, and I came over her saying, I'm going to mow your lawn. And that was the beginning of me mowing her lawn ever since. I tried to get parishioners to do that. One guy said, oh yeah, my son, he knows how to mow a lawn. He knows, oh yeah, yeah. He broke every sprinkler there was. He mowed the sprinklers. Okay, so every sprinkler had to be fixed. There was no way he's coming back, okay? And then I asked two men to try to do what she did by herself, and they couldn't do it. She would have to go back. She never told me that until recently. She had to go back and do what they didn't do, okay? So I just got tired of asking people to mow the lawn. So I've been mowing the lawn, and the backyard was just a mess. It was a bad sight to look at. And so I've been renovating. It started organizing and then planting. We had the home fumigated. The termites had destroyed the patio. I took down way over 1,000 pounds of wood, patio wood. And then one of the parishioners, Chez, the older altar server, he was the main one that did it, but I just did the dumbbell stuff, putting up a really nice patio, okay? And the backyard, we have some beautiful flowers, different colors, fruit trees. It's turned from a disaster area into a little taste of paradise, okay? It's a little taste of Italy. I won't tell you how that is, but it's a little taste of Italy. And it meant me pulling many, many trash cans of crabgrass out by hand using a screwdriver, okay? And so this hand is sometimes numb. Sometimes for communion, I'm having a little hard time controlling my hand. That's why. And so when I'm bicycling and my hands are on the handlebars for 3.5 hours, that just makes it worse. Okay? So that's another reason why I want to get into the motorized bike. Okay, so a lot of the big projects in her front yard, backyard are just about done. And so it's just going to be minimum maintenance. So that would be a relief. But that's where I've been if I haven't been here at the parish. This has been a parish project. I want to keep her going because she's the heart of the parish. She's doing the work of two people that can't be replaced right now. If she goes, the parish goes. Okay, so this was my way of helping her keep going. All right. So, generally people don't know about that, but you know about that now. All right, the woman, the go-to mom for our class is Mrs. Jennifer Therian. I don't see her right now. Is she outside or? She's going to put together a roster for me with all your names on, but I know just about all your names. Karina, come up and get one of these handouts, and then give one of these handouts to the, I don't know your name, the girl in the blonde hair over here. Jennifer, right there. Jennifer, Mrs. Jennifer Therian, do you have any announcements for our class, like the podcast? Why don't you tell us about the podcast?
We'll be recording every class, so if you can't make it or you have to leave early or you miss something or you're a remote student, you can listen to the FatherFrancisClass.org.
Good. Good. Thank you.
My husband does it in his very little spare time, so
thank you.
We can get that up by the weekend, so you'll have the rest of the week to listen to it.
Thank you. Anything else? Any other announcements that need to be made? Okay. All right. All right. Now we're going to start focusing on the class. A lot of you know how to get an A in Father Francis's class. There's three things, right? Okay, so number one, do the homework. The homework is to tell me something you learned from the previous class. Okay, so you don't have to look ahead, you look back. You heard the class. You can listen to it again on the podcast. You got some notes. You can listen to your brothers and sisters. Maybe your mom was in the class. Okay. What did you learn? Don't tell me something you already knew, but tell me something you learned from the class. Here's what I learned from last week's class, the previous class. So that's the homework. Right. Number two, participate when you can. I'm going to be doing a lot of the talking. But when you can, to participate. Try to answer questions, however tough they are to answer. All right. You don't have to be right. But do your best in trying to think of what the answer could be. Right. And then number three, at the end of the semester, there's the oral exam. That's when you tell me what you learned for the semester. So if you've been practicing week by week, you know, telling me what you learned week after week, you can take all that, put it together, and that's your test. Okay. Every test is unique, unrepeatable. I always ask the same question, what did you learn this semester? And every person that's ever taken my test in 20-some years has given me a different answer. You're all unique, and so your tests are unique. All right, more about that as we get closer to the end of the semester. Now, You can leave anytime. You don't have to apologize or genuflect. You just get up and go. Okay, when mom says, hey, get in the car. Okay, it's time to go. But I want you all here, not just on time. I don't want you walking in like 2 seconds before it's 9:30. I want you to come in between 9:25, 9:27, around that time, so you can get focused. You can get a little calm. You can be ready for class when it starts at 9:30. You can think of what you're going to say. This is what I learned for this week. Okay? So it's okay to talk before class, but you might want to do that outside. But when you come in before 9:30 to get focused. Right? So, another thing is, like every year, there's 5 classes during the year that we don't have. 5 Thursdays where there's no class. So the first will be in November, Thanksgiving, November 22nd. And then we'll be off before Christmas and during the New Year week. So when is that? We won't have class December 27th or January 1st. Our last class will be the oral exam on the 20th of December. Okay? And then we'll be off for Holy Week and Easter week. So those are 2 weeks we won't have class. And then we come back after that Easter week. Okay. I think everybody except for one. Each family should have a handout. I gave it to the oldest in each family. Okay, so each should have one. I have extras. We're going to take a look at this handout. Father Francis Homeschool Religion Class 2018-2019. Last year we talked about forgiveness. First semester on mercy, second semester on forgiveness. The second semester is more practical, how to do it. It took a whole year to talk about one word. How about that? Huh? This year, see, every year is something different. I've taught on the Mass before, but more on what it is, the different parts of the Mass, something of a history of the Mass. This year we're going to look at the Mass, but we're going to compare the old Mass to the new Mass, the Latin Mass to the English Mass. Okay, we got 2 Masses here. We got one at 10:45. That's the Tridentine Mass, the Latin Mass. If you've never been to a Latin Mass, it would be helpful for you in this class to go to one. Okay? Go to one. See what it's like. See, so you can compare. You can see what's the same and what's different. You might even go to more than one. All right? We're going to basically compare the Mass of 1962, that's what I'm going to call it, the old Mass, Tridentine Mass, to the new Mass, the Mass of 1970, the Vatican II Mass. So you have the Mass before Vatican II, the Mass after Vatican II. They're both different, right? Fundamentally the same. That's next week's class. What do they have in common? That's pretty easy, okay? And then we'll have several classes on the differences. All right? That'll be the comparison. And then we'll talk about the history of the Mass, the old Mass. What led to the old Mass being what it is now? And then what led to the new Mass being... What led to this new Mass? So I gave you the first semester handout. I'll give you the second semester handout when we come back the beginning of the second semester. I've already written it out. I already know basically what I'm going to cover. I wasn't able to spend as much time preparing as I would have liked to. I didn't do any heavy, long reading, but I got a lot of insights while I was gardening. Okay, while I was working at Mrs. Shar's backyard, I got a lot of insights, okay? And I would bounce off ideas with one of our priests who's really smart on liturgy, Father Norbert. He was the one that helped guide me. Okay, so next week's class will be what they have in common, and then weeks 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, what's different about the two. And then we're going to shift from comparing the two into the history of the Mass. A really good history. You could spend a whole year on the history. It's pretty interesting. We'll start with an overview of the history of the Mass. And then we'll have three classes, the first three classes on the history of the Mass. That'll be from the Bible. Two on the Old Testament. And then one class on the New Testament, Jesus. And then we'll have the review and then the first semester exam. Then when we come back, we'll pick up where we left off in history. We'll have another class on the New Testament. That'll be the early church community. That'll be especially St. Paul, 1 Corinthians, like chapter 11, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. Okay? The Mass in the earliest years, decades of the church. Okay? And then we'll go from there, all the way up to Vatican II, post-Vatican II. So we're going to start basically with Abraham. That would be like 1,800 years before Christ, something like that, up until post-Vatican II. So over 3,000, let's say, over 3,800 years of history of the Mass. Preparing for the Mass and then the Mass. Okay, so that's what this basically looks like. Now, why are we going to do this? Why spend so much time comparing, looking at the two? Well, we have both in our parish, right? And maybe there has been Latin Mass people coming up to you and trying to recruit you into the Latin Mass. Some of them think the Latin Mass is superior to the new Mass. They think that the old is necessarily better than the new. They've seen so many liturgical abuses in the old Mass. They've been scarred. They've seen some horrible things with the new Mass. There's nothing wrong with the new Mass, but the screwed up priests who have abused liturgy, okay, amongst their other abuses. Okay, so people have been badly abused liturgically, and so they run to the old Mass, the Mass of 1962. Okay, is one better than the other? We're going to take a look at this. All right. There is definitely ignorance on both sides. Those who go to the old mass and new mass. There's errors. There's myths. Okay. We want to be educated on this topic. It's not just what goes on here. Sometimes it could be a bit divisive here in our parish. Same with my community. It's the older priests that aren't buying the old mass because of our experiences, okay? But it's the newer ones that are really into the old mass, okay? And that sometimes they refuse to concelebrate in our community. And there's that feeling of division, all right? So I feel it. I feel it, the difference, you know, between the two in my community. I feel it every once in a while here, or at least I hear about it from what other people say. Okay, so I personally want to be educated on this stuff. I might start preaching on some of this stuff. All right? So why, number one, are we talking about this? So we won't be part of those who are in ignorance and error. We will know what both are about. We'll know the truth. The truth will set you free, not ignorance and error. Ignorance and error will never set anybody free. Okay? We want to know the truth. Number two, I want you to appreciate both. You may favor one over the other. That's fine. We have our likes and our dislikes. I want you to appreciate both. I want you to appreciate the old mass. If you're really into the new mass like me, I favor the new mass. Why would it be good to know the old mass so you can better love the new? It helps you to better appreciate the new, to see what's in the new that you may not be seeing now. Okay? I got that idea from Brother Mark at the Abbey. So number two, I want you to appreciate both. I want you to avoid extremes. You know, some people think, you know, one mass is all good and the other mass is all bad. I want you to avoid those extremes. I want you to appreciate both. So that's number two. Okay, and number three, this is all heading towards the end, how I view the future, which is how our previous Pope, Benedict XVI, views the future of the Mass, where he thinks we need to be going, a reform of the reform. Okay, the reform was good, but there's some things that need to be changed. Okay, so we'll take a look at that. So you know my perspective, you can see that. My sources are basically the Bible and tradition. We'll spend four classes of history on the Bible, two in the Old Testament, two in the New Testament. Tradition, that's pretty broad. Our liturgical tradition. I'm going to be comparing the two calendars. The old calendar with the new calendar. Like feast days. They're different. I mean, there's feasts in one calendar that are not in the other calendar. What's a holy day of obligation in one calendar is not necessarily so in the other calendar. Okay, so we need to compare calendars. So that's going to be a source I'll be going to. The most obvious source, the most basic source, if you want to do work on your own, get the two missals, the missal from the 1962 Mass and the new missal, and compare. See for yourself. I mean, you can see that at the Masses, the two different Masses. You can follow along with the missalette. See it with your eyes, and then experience it by being there at the two different Masses. Okay? So missals, a lot of the history, not all the history that I'll be referring to, comes from a 1950 book by Father Joseph Jungmans, a Jesuit, a standard book of church a standard history of the Mass that was used by many seminarians preparing for the priesthood before Vatican II. That's what they would have gotten in the seminary. It's very good. Okay? You can't get off track looking at things historically. I mean, this is fact. Okay, so we'll take a look at that. I'll be using that as a source. We'll be looking at church papal documents, like Pope St. Pius V, after the Council of Trent. He had one of the greatest encyclicals on the Mass, Quo Primum. Okay, there's some interesting statements that I'll have to be talking about to clarify what was meant when he said those statements. Okay, so that'll be a source, papal documents. Also, ecumenical councils, the main one being Vatican II. We'll spend a few classes on Vatican II documents on the Mass. Okay. So those are my sources. This is our easiest class, our shortest class maybe for the year. I think I covered everything. Any questions? Yes, Joseph.
Question is, will there be any changes to the time that people have to do for minimum for their age?
No. No, we'll get to that as we closer to this end of the semester. Anything else? We got a full house. I think all the seats are occupied. And for this future, it would be good to have the students all together. Okay. Parents in the back. And then students up here. Right. If we need to put in another table, we can do that. Okay, we've got two students here. Any other students?
No.
I think we can all fit in what's already here, right? So come on time, otherwise you may not get a seat. You might have to stand at attention for the whole class. So come on time, let's stand and pray. We'll pray one Our Father for Mr. Homer Shapiro, 89 years old, that he can get baptized, get some of the other sacraments before he dies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ada.
Yes.
You're in charge of that, huh?